Greetings, everyone. This is Lyle Johnston. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. We ask that question, what is the origins of the British people? And the short answer is that they are the descendants of families from the Bible going right back to the book of Genesis. Now, you're not going to read this in your history books, but there is one book in which you can read it, and one history that is reliable, not like so many of the histories written today, which are written from the perspective of the individuals or those peoples who wrote these histories. The Bible is a book that can be trusted because, as we have mentioned in previous topics, that the Bible is God speaking to us today. So let's ask another question. Is God speaking to the British peoples today, no matter where they are located, whether they are located in the British Isles or in other locations around the world? But for the people in the British Isles and those who sought other lands to live as they migrated, because there was something in the mind of the British people that caused them to immigrate, to seek new horizons. And many of those people ended up in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and scattered in other places around the world. And the British peoples, as we know, became the mighty British Empire, the greatest empire to exist ever, where the sun, it was said, never set on the British Empire. But the British Empire came to an end, and it became the British Commonwealth of Nations. Today, it is the Commonwealth of Nations. What will the Commonwealth become next? Going back to that question, where are our origins? Well, it goes right back to the book of Genesis, and it begins with a man called Abraham. Now, Abraham's name appears many, many, many times in the Bible because God entered into a covenant with Abraham, which still exists today, and that covenant still exists among his people. It is a covenant God made to Abraham and his family, and that covenant is being worked out here on earth below because of that covenant that was made so many years ago. Now, Abraham had a son, and his name was Isaac, and Isaac's son was named Jacob. Now, Jacob had 12 sons, and one of those sons was named Joseph, and Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, that Jacob, who God had renamed Israel, put his name upon them. So Ephraim and Manasseh, when ancient Israel was in Egypt, at this stage not as slaves, but had been rescued by one of the sons of Jacob, whose name was Joseph, in a time of famine, and he brought his family into Egypt and took care of them. It was in the years following that the house of Jacob, or Israel, became slaves in Egypt, when a pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph and was threatened by the growth of the family of Jacob, which came into the land. And that story you can read back in Exodus, the first chapter. Now, those two sons, upon whom the name of Israel was named, Ephraim and Manasseh, are known today as the United Kingdom and all the British peoples, wherever they exist on the face of the earth. And the other, of course, is America, Manasseh. Now, it's interesting that God mentions nations going back thousands of years that still exist today. And we've mentioned those nations like Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, and we know where the Persian Empire is today. And it's also interesting that one of those tribes, the whole world knows where they are today, because there is a constant focus on the descendants of one of the sons of Jacob named Judah. Today, the descendants of Judah are known as the Jews. And you can read about that in the Bible. You can read about that in the histories of this world. And You can read it in your daily newspaper. Now, let's ask another question. If the tribe of Judah, who are the Jews today, of whom the Bible has much to say, what about Ephraim and Manasseh? Today, Ephraim and Manasseh are the British and American peoples. Do you not think that they would be mentioned in the scriptures, the Word of God, the Bible, when there are 11 other tribes who the world has lost knowledge of? And in fact, those tribes and the descendants of those tribes, they have even lost knowledge of who they are. And the other critical matter here, not only that, but they've also forgotten the God that has set them up and blessed them under the covenant blessings that God promised to Abraham. The British peoples experienced great wealth. The American people also. And God has much to say about them. So, are the British people mentioned in the prophecies of the scriptures? Can we say that, well, no, you know, God has simply just done away with those people? In fact, he did. He cast them aside, but he's not finished with them yet. And we're living in a critical time, as we saw on a previous segment, as we are reading from the Olivet Prophecy, Matthew 24, about some of the times that would come. Now, it's interesting that just in recent times, we have this announcement here from the BBC News from the United Kingdom, and it's titled, UK Terror Threat Level Raised to Severe. And continuing with that article, the UK's terror threat level has been raised from substantial to severe in response to conflicts in Iraq and Syria, the Home Secretary says. The new alert level rates the risk of an attack in the UK highly likely, although the Home Secretary said there was no evidence to suggest one was imminent, and the imminent is in quotations. It is the second highest of five possible UK threat levels. So we're only one step away from the highest level of threat in the United Kingdom today as we speak. And there are comments here by the current Prime Minister where he says we need to fill the gaps in our armoury. Now, where does this information come from? Well, before we enter that, let's read another comment. The Home Secretary already has the power under the royal prerogative to withhold a passport if it is in the public interest to stop somebody. That power has been used to stop people travelling abroad for alleged terrorist-related or criminal activities. In a Downing Street press conference, the Prime Minister said, Islamic State, in brackets IS, extremists who are attempting to establish a caliphate or Islamic State represented a greater and deeper threat to our security than we have known before. These are somber, solemn words. He said that learning lessons from the past doesn't mean there isn't a place for our military in combating the threat, but did not commit to any military action. A little bit later in the article, we can read, the last time the level was this high was between January 2010 and the summer of 2011. This may have been linked to attempts by an Al-Qaeda affiliate to smuggle bombs onto planes heading out of the Middle East. The highest level is critical. So now we are on the level in the British Isles on severe. The highest level is critical, meaning an attack is expected imminently. Officials have twice put the country on such alert, after the discovery of liquid bombs on airliners, and then when extremists attempted to bomb Glasgow Airport and London's West End. In other words, if security chiefs had knowledge of a clear threat they could not contain, the level would already be one notch higher, meaning critical. Now, something to go along with that was another news report that came out recently, how that the travel lodges in the United Kingdom have made the decision to pull all copies of the Bible, the very Word of God, out of their hotel chains. And the article went on to say that probably other hotel chains will follow suit. Taken it out of schools, we've taken out many of the institutions. Prayer is not able to be said in the schools. In fact, there was an article written recently by a 15-year-old school pupil. And let's just read a little bit, because even though this is written for America, it's a very similar case in the United Kingdom. And the introductory statement says, "The Lord's Prayer is not allowed in most public schools in America anymore." Now, is it allowed in the United Kingdom, where today 39% of the population of the United Kingdom, where humanist organizations have flourished for decades, believe definitively that no God exists? Now, what about that Abrahamic covenant, of which the people of the United Kingdom and all those people who are British are under? What do you think God thinks about that? And this article continues, or this writing by this 15-year-old says, "Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule. For this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. A scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That's no offense. It's a freedom scene. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayers spoken aloud are a serious vice." Continuing, "For praying in public halls might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the United States." And, of course, it is now being cast out, and has been being cast out for many, many years, by the British peoples, the people who God calls special for a very special reason. We're allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our ears, tongues, and cheeks are allowed, but not the Bible. To quote the good book makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and the unwed daddy our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth controls, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles, but the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess. When chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make. Should I be shot, my soul please take. Amen." The thoughts, it would appear, of a 15-year-old who hasn't forgot who God is. A 15-year-old that's been taught by his parents to honor and to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our forefathers, for which our nations and people are rejecting. And with 39% of the British people not even believing in God, when we don't do that, what does God think? What is God going to do? Now, here's another article. This is a CNN release. It says, "CNN poll finds the majority of Americans alarmed by ISIS." And they are quite happy, even after having troops pulled out of Iraq and Afghanistan, they're still happy that because of the impending threat for the president to attack the Islamic State. So they're afraid. And there's a huge majority in the United States who would welcome the president to wipe out the Islamic State. The same is true now in the United Kingdom. And currently there are more than 500 people carrying British passports that have gone out to fight the war in the Middle East, causing great consternation. And here's the reason why the threat level has been raised to one short of the highest level. And the people in the United Kingdom are becoming more and more afraid. Now, why is this? Why is this happening today with an empire that was so great, when Britain literally ruled the waves, where Britain was sitting in the ruling chair, when Britain was sitting in the great place of power, where Britain could do whatever she wished, wherever she wished, around the world. Today, the British people are cowering in a corner, afraid of what they sense is taking place. Now, this is what Jesus warned about in Matthew, the 24th chapter. So let's go back there and refresh our minds on what Jesus said is going to happen. And these prophecies of Matthew 24, they are to all peoples in the world. But first, to the British and American peoples, and those to whom God is calling today to turn to Him, to trust in Him, to have faith in Him. Today, our nations of the former British Empire, today of the Commonwealth of Nations, we will not trust in God. Our leaders don't believe in God, or they don't know on record saying, well, we're not sure if God does exist. So the question is still out. But make no mistake, God knows He exists. And those people to whom He has called out of this world and praying that all people will repent so that we can avoid those things that Jesus prophesied, and those prophecies are well underway. And the ones paying the penalty first, and the ones God is bringing punishment on because we have rejected Him, we have rejected His laws and His commandments, we take His name in vain. Second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for God will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Oh, well, we can do away with the Ten Commandments. Can we? God hasn't wiped them out. God hasn't rejected them. Jesus did not come and reject the Ten Commandments, which he in person delivered to ancient Israel. And through the words of the Bible today that has gone into so many nations, millions of copies being spread around the world every day, any nation, any person that takes the name of the Lord God in vain, whether he be Jew, whether he be Israelite, or whether he be descendant of the Gentile nations, God will not hold him guiltless. And so we use the phrases, oh my God, that is blasphemy. And that is something God takes notice of. And as he said, I will not hold him guiltless. So do you use that phrase? Oh my God, it's a cute little expression. Maybe that's what we think. But God takes that seriously. And there is a penalty. That's just one example. Back to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Now, what we're reading in Matthew, the 24th chapter, is taking place before our very eyes today. We are living in the time, or the beginning of the time of sorrows, whether we can see it or not. And the reason we're living in these times is because we, as the people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because we have rejected God in the main, God says throughout the Old Testament that he would punish us, to bring us to heel, to bring us back into his presence. God even said that he would cast us off as his special people, those that are supposed to be showing the rest of the world, those that are supposed to be an example of living God's way of life. We as nations have rejected that. We're below the 50% level. We are a nation and a people that have gone below the 50% level of righteous living. And when a nation goes below this level of righteousness, then we can expect even greater punishment for the evils we do. We've even thrown the Bible out of our churches. Oh, we'll read it, we'll quote it, but we will not obey the voice of God. When was the last time you heard a sermon, when you heard a message from the pulpit in your local church or your cathedral or your chapel, wherever you worship, where you were reminded where God says that we are to keep his commandments and laws and statutes. And by keeping his commandments, everything will go well for you. Matthew 24, Olivet Prophecy, Jesus alone with his disciples. Verse 3, and as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him alone, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming, and of the completion of the age? In other words, the end times. When is the end coming, Lord? Is it coming in our day? And you may ask the same question. Are you living in the last times? Well, every one of us is, because as the scripture says, you know, the lifespan of man is 70, which is 70. And if God gives us more time, then, you know, blessed be the name of God. And there are many of us who are getting older. And even if we don't live into the last days or the very last of the last days, in our own time, in our own lives, the time that we have left, whether it be 5 years, 10 years or more, it's our last days. And we have decisions to make if we haven't already made them. We have some repenting to do of our pride, of our vanity, of our sins. And so for us, yes, for every person, even if we don't live into the time that Jesus is talking about, every one of us are living in our last days. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, whether we will be hit by a speeding vehicle, whether we'll be caught in some mortal incident where we lose our lives, suffer a heart attack, some dreaded disease, which is on the increase. Jesus answered them and said, verse 4, be on guard so that no one deceives you. Are you deceived? Have you been deceived? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. And that is a state of religion today. Preachers, false prophets, false apostles coming, bringing a gospel that is totally different from the gospel that Jesus Christ brought and preached, which is the gospel of the coming kingdom of God, of whom Jesus Christ is Lord and King and Master. He is going to become King of all kings and Lord of all lords, and he is going to rule. Now notice this. He is going to rule the people that remain, which shows that God's punishment on mankind, beginning with the descendants of Jacob, particularly the house of Ephraim, the house of Manasseh, for our sins, for not obeying God, for not carrying his way before us into all the world. Oh yes, we've been deceived. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And of course, now the peoples in the United Kingdom and in our sister country, the United States, we're afraid. We're afraid that we're going to be attacked. And scripture shows that is exactly what is going to happen. What Jesus said is going to come to pass. The only factor that can delay this in any way is that if we repent of our sins and we turn to God in fasting and prayer. It has been done in the past, and God has answered those prayers. But will we do it? Will you as an individual do it? Will you repent? Will you turn to God in the proverbial sackcloth and ashes? Humble yourself as a beginning and pray as part of the British peoples that God would forgive us for our sins, that God would turn the hearts of our peoples back to him whom we have forgotten. Even the animals, as Isaiah was given to write, know their masters. But we, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we don't even know who our master is. We don't even know the Lord God because we refuse to obey his laws. And if we refuse to obey his laws, we cannot know him because he does not know us, as Jesus said in Matthew also. He said, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord? Because I don't know you, you workers of lawlessness. Yes, we think maybe that we're Christian, that we go to church on a Sunday. We think that we know Christ. We think that he knows us, but that's not what he says. Matthew 23, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but he's going to say, I don't know you because you putting it in the vernacular, you have refused to obey my commandments. I don't know you. You can read that. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, that's a constant today, isn't it? See that you do not let these things disturb you, for it is necessary, and remember he's talking to his disciples, it is necessary. Well, what does necessary mean? Well, it's an imperative. This has to happen, and it is going to happen based on the surety of the Word of God. It is necessary that all these things take place, but the end is not yet. And we don't know exactly when the end is, but the signs that we're living in the end times are very clear. Nation shall rise up against nation. And look what's happening. Look what's happening in the Ukraine, a very critical area between the peoples of the Ukraine and the Russian Federation. And look at the reaction now from America and Britain and many other nations. Nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Is that on the increase in our day? And there shall be famines and pestilence. Do we have disease? Do we have Ebola in existence today? Are people dying from Ebola? This is just the beginning. God is calling us to repentance. God is calling us to obedience. Then they shall deliver. Verse 8, now all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up. And here this is a specific statement to the disciples, but it's also prophetic. It's dual. It's also true for God's servants today. Any who will take a stand, obey God, and seek Him, and follow His way of life. Not some religion, but a way of life that God has given to us, primarily outlined in the Ten Commandments, but also need the Holy Spirit in order to keep those commandments in a manner pleasing to God. And that requires repentance and baptism. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction and shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So there is the future for the people of God. Today, in many places in the British Commonwealth, we still are able to worship God. Time is coming when what Jesus said here will happen. You shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, isn't this interesting? That the people who are supposed to be the people of God, the two peoples, the British people and the American peoples, are they not hated by many nations today? Are there not many for the present who are paying lip service to us, but deep down underneath, they hate us? That is a truth. And you can read that in your daily newspaper. You can see that on the news programs. And then many shall be led into sin, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Now, isn't this a factor in our nations today? Lawlessness abounds. The crime, the corruption is getting to that boiling point. In fact, in many cases, has already reached the boiling point, and the love of many shall grow cold. We are insular. We protect ourselves from our neighbors. We protect ourselves from others because we just simply don't trust. Because primarily safety that we have enjoyed in the past has basically gone, and we're just at the beginning of the time of troubles. We've already mentioned that Britain is the descendant of Ephraim, and I would recommend that you go online and you order a copy of our publication, Two Nations That Changed the World, America and Britain, Their Biblical Origin and Prophetic Destiny. You do need that book because it goes into great detail to showing where the descendants, going into the background for those who are the British peoples, and your eyes will be opened. You will be amazed. You'll be astonished. And when you understand the prophecies given thousands of years ago about what would happen to us if we refused to obey the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the penalties we would suffer. But also on the reverse side, there are the blessings that come through obedience. We will continue this next time. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. This is Lyle Johnson saying so long for now.